time for the Positive Chats podcast. And joining us, fellow Christian radio broadcaster, Brant Hansen. He's also an author and podcaster and so many other things.
A lot of things, man. Really thanks for letting me be on the show.
Oh, thanks for joining us this morning and looking forward to talking with you. And, man, you have had a busy life. We'll be talking about your recent book, The Men We Need, in a little bit. But let's get to know Brant and your career. Let's even start from when you were born.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm from Illinois and Indiana, like little towns, moved around all over the place. And I wanted to be, actually, I got into broadcasting originally because I wanted to be a baseball play-by-play announcer. And I don't know why it didn't. I didn't realize it until too late. But like, I tried to play Little League and stuff growing up in Pony League. I never got a hit because I can't see the ball. Like I was literally no hits for 8 years. And then for some reason it didn't dawn on me until I was in college that, wait, I can't be a play-by-play announcer if I can't see the baseball, even when I'm on the field. So I wound up being a newsman on a local Christian radio station in Champaign, Illinois, and then kind of stuck with radio from there.
So you've been a Christian all your life?
Well, I was raised in a Christian family. I'm a son of a pastor. That makes it sound maybe more pat than it really was, because we went through some trauma and some divorces and a lot of moving around. And it was pretty tough, honestly. But that's made me a little different the way I view faith, I think. It's made me a very skeptical person, and I've had to ask a lot of questions. And honestly, it's chased me back around to Jesus. It makes me skeptical of everything, not just Christian claims. So I think it's been really helpful because I find Jesus very compelling, and he's the reason I'm in this. And I wouldn't know where else to go. I don't think any other worldview works like the Jesus one does. And I've found him to be the source of all truth in life. So it seems like you're a Christian all your life kind of thing, but there's some struggle there. So yeah, it was a tough one.
And we got to know you a little bit. We air the feature here, I Am Second, and you got to sit in the white chair. So we kind of know a little bit about, you did have kind of a rough family life.
Yeah. Yeah. The other wrinkle, and some people can relate to this, and maybe you have somebody in your family, if you're listening to this, like it's on the autism spectrum. That's me too. And I've been diagnosed with what used to be called Asperger's. So it's a high functioning form of autism. And so is my son. So that's kind of made me different too. And it's mainly a social struggle through my life, but I've gotten better with that. But it is kind of ironic that I wound up being in radio and being an introvert and somebody on the spectrum, but it's all good. And I think God's used it.
Yeah. And you even wrote a book about that. Blessed Are the Misfits. Great news for believers who are introverts, spiritual strugglers, or just feel like they're missing something.
Yeah. That book has struck a chord with people. I think if you do feel like you don't relate to God, like you feel like other people are, because a lot of people being like in a worship service and they see people having an emotional experience and they don't relate the same way. Like, I don't always feel like God's around. What do I do with that? And I'm trying to let people know that God hasn't abandoned you. He's not left you. Our emotions can fool us. And God is very happy with people who are loyal. Whether you feel him around or not, you still follow him and you're still loyal to him and steadfast. Like, that's been really good news for a lot of people, because you do wonder if you're somebody who doesn't quite fit into church culture. You do wonder if there's something wrong with you, So I love being able to write about that.
You kind of experience where, maybe you're weakest. That's where God can use you, because it's all him and not you.
Totally. And that's been interesting. And I know you've probably seen that too in your own life, but like, if you're awesome at something, you're just amazingly talented person. Well, okay. So you accomplished something. Guess who gets the credit for that? You do, because you're so great and awesome and all that. But if you are weak and there's vulnerability there and something wonderful happens, God gets the credit. It's so obvious. And I think that's why he chooses people, even like Moses. People picture him from the movies. Every time he's in the movies, he's always some jacked, like really ripped guy, like Christian Bale or Charlton Heston or somebody. Like in the actual biblical account, God chooses Moses. Moses is already 80 years old. He's a weak old man. And Like, it's, but what God does with him, God gets the credit for it. Like, he chooses these people you wouldn't expect. And I really love that about him.
Well, tell us a little bit more about your Christian radio career.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I started as a newsman, and I didn't ever intend to be a host on a show, ever. I didn't want to. In fact, I like being a sidekick. I like being a guy who doesn't have to talk all the time and can just make funny comments from the side. But they would actually, I took my news job really seriously, and they would leave me on longer and longer during the morning show in this in Champaign. And eventually, I took jobs as sidekicks and producers and news guy. But one day, my manager, he had me on with a really talented lady on in the morning. I was her assistant. And he said, okay, we've got too much going on in this show. We need to spread it out. And he put her on in the afternoon and left me by myself in the mornings. And I'd never been the DJ or anything like not like. So that was pretty scary. And I didn't want it, but it went pretty well. And then it got syndicated and it kind of took off from there. So again, I had no plan at all for that. But it's been really great. I think we're on like close to 200 stations, something like that now. Across the country, and no one would have predicted that, and I certainly didn't set out to make that happen. So again, to any extent that this show is a blessing to people, it's a credit to God's goodness.
We mentioned you wrote some books, and we'll talk about The Men We Need here in just a little bit, but you also are involved in several ministries that you've helped out in a variety of ways.
Yeah, one mainly, like my heart is with something. I went and visited a hospital. I heard about this, and I thought, that's intriguing, because I know Jesus healed people. And he proclaimed the kingdom. It's what he did to show that the kingdom was here. He was always healing people. He could have done any kind of miracles. But like 75, 80% of his miracles are healing. Like, why? I thought that was so interesting. It's to demonstrate that the kingdom is here. And so I heard about this ministry that actually has full-on surgical hospitals that are all about Jesus, where they don't just do the surgery, but they actually tell people about the kingdom of God. And they tell them the gospel. And I was like, that makes sense to me. So I started visiting these hospitals. They're called Cure. And you can look online. It's cure.org. I thought, this is the best expression of Jesus I've ever seen in my life. And so I visited the one in Afghanistan like 3 times. And I've been around the world in different hospitals. We have 9 right now. But I've thrown my entire career behind this, because Cure heals kids that have correctable disabilities. If they were in the U.S., they'd be healed lickety-split. It'd be no big deal. But in another country, you grow up, you can't walk. You're 15 years old. You're dragging yourself around. You can't go to school. You're on the ground. And we could fix it. So as a believer, I'm like, why don't we? And there's millions of kids like this. So I'm so thankful for what Cure does. And I think it's so obviously Jesus in action that I've just gone all in on it. So if people go to cure.org, you can actually see the stories and the kids that are currently in the hospital. And these are orthopedic and neurosurgery hospitals where the surgeons pray over the kids as they're on the table before, during surgery. Sometimes there's worship music in the OR. I've been in these operating rooms. I've never seen anything like it before. But I was like, if people associated Christians with this, that would be kind of on point. That would be like, then they would associate it with Jesus. Like, this makes a complete connection with who Jesus actually is and what we're supposed to be about. So I love that, even though I'm not a doctor, I get to be involved with this. And amazingly, my son, who just finished his stint in the military, is he's in med school. He's at Yale doing, he wants to be a surgeon for Cure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's his trajectory. He's going into orthopedics or neurosurgery. He wants to be a brain surgeon. For these kids, I took them to the hospitals and it flipped his switch.
Wow.
But there's something so beautiful about it. I could talk about it all day. I won't, but there's 10,000 plus people who become Christians in the hospitals every year. It's amazing. So it's like the best kept secret in the world, and it needs to not be a secret. So that's all.
What's their website again?
Cure.org. It's awesome. You should check it out. Like, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
We're talking with Brand Hansen and his new book, The Men We Need, God's Purpose for the Manly Man, the Avid Indoorsman, or Any Man Willing to Show Up. Who are you talking to with the subtitle here? It sounds like any man.
Yeah, totally. Because I'm not the guy to write a manly man book. Like, a lot of these books for guys, they show like somebody climbing a rock on a cover, you know, silhouetted, or there's always something. And I'm not that guy. My balance is terrible. Like I said, I don't see very well. I play the flute, no lie. Like, I'm not the guy that you would normally go, he's going to write a man book. But it is about any of us fulfilling the role that God gave Adam in the garden. I'm trying to tell guys, like, there's so much deconstruction about masculinity, and I'm trying to explain what the construction actually is. And this keeper of the garden idea, we're supposed to protect the vulnerable. We're supposed to make people feel secure around us. They should be secure around us. And you can do that even if you're like me and you're not, you know, all that. I don't have a big truck. Last time I was on a motorcycle, I literally hit a parked car. I'm not kidding. I'm not cut out for a lot of this stuff, but I can do this keeper of the garden thing. Your family, the kids around you, the vulnerable, your wife, if you're married, people in your neighborhood should feel more secure because you're there. And when we do that, that's being this keeper of the garden where people around us are protected and they can flourish. When you do that, I'm trying to tell younger guys specifically, like, women find this very attractive. When you do that, they find it extremely attractive. And to me, it's not the reason to do it, but it's fascinating because I think women intuit when we're at our best, what we're for, what masculinity really looks like. And I'm telling you, you don't have to be the best looking guy or the most muscular or whatever. You do this and I'm telling you, if you're already married, your wife will be more attracted to you when you are willing to be the keeper of the garden. You're engaged. You're not passive. You're not domineering, but you are providing a place for other people to grow and flourish. That's a beautiful thing. So that's what I'm trying to do with this book, is create that picture so guys understand what that is.
And I mean, you're drawing wisdom from the word. God created totally. Us. We've got that potential in us because he's created us that way.
Absolutely. And so he tells Adam, he gives him this job as keeper of the garden. He gives Eve this job as the Azer, the E-Z-E-R, which means rescuer. It's a very strong word itself with a whole lot of meaning. But this keeper of the garden thing, when they both blow it, when they both eat from the tree that they're not supposed to, but it's still costly to us, this idea that we can be our own gods and determine what's right and wrong for ourselves. Like, when they did that, God comes into the garden. He says, Adam, where are you? I mean, they both did it, but he holds Adam responsible in a certain way because he was supposed to protect the garden. And there's this enemy in the garden, and he allows this to happen. He allows Eve to have this conversation, and he's right there with her. I always thought growing up that he was like a mile away doing something, like, I don't know what, like naming the animals or whatever, but he's not. He's actually right with Eve, saying nothing. If you look at the text. And so he failed as the keeper of the garden, but I still think that that's what masculinity is at its best. And again, you don't have to be the trappings of all the things that the culture says is masculine in order to inhabit that.
And in your book, you use the six decisions that will set you apart to get this concept across. What are those six decisions?
Well, I spent a couple of them on making women and children feel secure around you. If you decide to do that, that's important. Protecting the vulnerable, which I've already kind of been talking about. One of them is taking responsibility for your own spiritual life. And I want guys to do that. I want them to be encouraged to do it, because a lot of times guys are discouraged when it comes to spiritual things, because our culture, including our Christian culture, associate spirituality with emotion. Like, if you feel God around, if you feel this, if you feel it, like, but that's not necessarily, in fact, that's not spirituality. Spirituality to Jesus is actually being obedient and following him and loyally, just being loyal each day, showing up and interacting with him passionately. Like, any of us can do that, even though we're sinners. And I'm trying to tell guys, like, you can do this, whether you feel God around or not isn't the point. But you keep showing up and interacting with him and laying yourself out there with him. Even though you're a sinner, you can do this. And I keep showing up. So I'm trying to encourage guys to do that, because no one else is going to do that for you. Like, that's you have to be the man. And that's where your life is going to come from, that brings life to other people around you. So that's one of them. Real quick, another one that I talk about. Is decide now who you're going to become. And I'm trying to tell guys to you change over time. And you know this, we both live long enough. We're not the same person we were when we were 20. But you determine that. And the thing that determines it, I'm trying to tell guys, there's something that determines who you're becoming, and it's what you're paying attention to. who you're paying attention to right now, where you put your mind determines who you're becoming. No one else controls that but you. But I'm telling you, you're on a trajectory one way or the other. You're going to wind up being that old, angry, lonely guy, or you're going to wind up being somebody who's that guy who can listen to other people, who's secure, who other people look at and go, man, I love being around him. He's relaxed. He's other-centered. He's a source of life for his family and the people, generations that follow him. Like, you choose now, but you need to make sure you're paying attention to the right voices right now and spending time paying attention to the right things. Because that's who you're becoming. So that's one of the decisions, too.
We're chatting with Brant Hansen about his book, The Men We Need, God's Purpose for the Manly Man, the Avid Indoorsman, or Any Man Willing to Show Up. And one of your decisions talks about be ambitious about the right things. So that's making me think, okay, well, a lot of us guys are ambitious about sports or our career. We probably need a little gut check there on that.
Yeah, it's about wisdom. And I'm telling guys too, to ask for wisdom because it'll tell you what's important. Wisdom tells you what's important versus what's not. That's everything in life. And this is why we're told to ask for it. And God's so good, he will give it to you. And when you are wise, it saves you from pain that you otherwise would have gone through. Foolishness, the opposite of wisdom, always brings pain. And it brings pain not just for you, but for your family or the people around you. So I'm like, guys, especially young guys, but old guys too, like, ask God for wisdom so you know what matters and what doesn't. Because you can be very ambitious, but if you're ambitious about the wrong things, especially in talking to guys there, I have a little subchapter for younger guys. Like, if you've got a family, you got young kids, now is the time to double down on them, not your career. You may think I've got to build this thing, but a lot of times the thing you're building is like trying to afford cars. You don't actually need a car that's nice at this stage in life. If it means you're driving a jalopy or an 86 Accord, you know, or whatever it is, then drive the 86 Accord. Who cares? Focus on your kids right now, because they're not going to get another childhood. They get one shot at growing up with a good dad, with time with him. Don't blow it. So I'm trying to tell younger guys this. Be ambitious about them. Now is little kid season. Now is fathering season. There'll be another season in life. I know this from experience. That season comes. You can do more stuff once they're out of the house or whatever. But right now, be ambitious about that. And if it means living in a trailer, live in a trailer. If it means not having a vacation, who cares? Set up a sprinkler outside the trailer and have a great time with your kids outside the trailer. It doesn't matter. The point is, focus on your kids right now rather than buying stuff. Yeah. Buy stuff later.
Don't let it get to the point where you get older and say, man, I wish I could go back and do things over.
Totally. And there's so many guys like that, and it's heartbreaking. And I appreciate the honesty, but you don't. Like, now is the time. That's wisdom. See, when foolishness brings pain, and the pain of regret is one of those pains that happens. But if you know what matters, now is the time to lean in to time with your kids and your wife. Like, do it. So sometimes guys just need to hear that in a reminder. We kind of all know it implicitly, but we need permission from somebody to say, oh, yeah, that the culture has it wrong. We need to live differently.
The book is The Men We Need, God's Purpose for the Manly Man, the Avid Indoorsman, or Any Man Willing to Show Up by Brant Hansen. And we've been chatting with Brant today. Brant, I always hated going to church on Father's Day. You know, Mother's Day, oh, moms are great, this and that. Father's Day, you got to do this, you got to do that.
That's so true. That's right. It was always like, moms are awesome. And now here's a guilt trip, Dad. You guys are blowing it, you bunch of morons. Like, that is the approach.
So, Brant, what would you say to guys out there? They've heard all this and, you know, instructions, what we need to do. Give us some words of encouragement.
Right. Okay. So this is an opportunity. Do not go, well, I blew it, it's all over. It's not all over. Like, choose today to be passionate with God. This is an opportunity. You get to meet with him. This is your most important meeting, and he will listen to you, and he's on your side. He encourages us, like, be extremely honest with him. This is an opportunity. So, yeah, okay, so I've had to grow up too, and I'm still growing. Just in the last couple of years, I've really started praying better, and I'm still not great at it, but I've realized it's an opportunity. I don't want to miss it. And I could be like, well, the first 50 years of my life, I didn't do it very well, so who cares? I'm like, no, no, no. It's not too late. It's not too late to enjoy God, to have this relationship with him, where you see him doing things in your life and growing you up in certain ways. And I mean, come on, let's do this together. We can grow up. And a few guys who are taking God really seriously and humbling themselves and interacting with him passionately can make a huge difference. So I say, join me. I don't always know what I'm doing, but with us together and with him, man, we can make a big difference in people's lives and in our country's trajectory.
How can people get a hold of The Men We Need?
Well, it's at all the usual book places. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all that sort of stuff. Christian book places. And it's everywhere. So that's really good. It's good. So far, so good. And cool. It would make a great graduation present, I would say that.
Good idea. What have you got online? Anything more that you have online that people can check out?
Yeah, people can look at BrantHanson.com, and I do a podcast and stuff, and it's goofy, but it's also serious. There's a mix. It's BrantHanson.com, and love to interact.
All right. Well, it's been great been chatting with you, Brant. Appreciate it. Again, the book is The Men We Need, God's Purpose for the Manly Man, the Avid Indoorsman, or Any Man Willing to Show Up. Appreciate it. And again, your website?
BrantHanson.com and cure.org. Check it out.
Yeah, that's right. Again, great chatting with you, and hope to see you soon, Brant.
Thanks, man. God bless you.